part three. You're listening to another episode of
Total Talk Nonsense
with John and Scott.
That's right, Total Talk Nonsense. John Scott, I'm John!
And I'm Scott.
And
I'm Ed.
Special Ed. Total Talk Nonsense 96, part 3, the heavy metal episode.
The heavy metal episode, John. We got a lot to cover in part 3.
I just love this fucking band, man. God damn it! I wish it was in their band.
You know, they got a little Iron Maiden feel to it.
Yeah, kind of. The name of the band is Killswitch Engage, and this song is called Reject Yourself.
Reject Yourself. Like when you want to masturbate, you say no.
Stop!
No, I'm not going to.
No, I'm not a solo sexual. Yeah, these guys are great, man. Well, you know what? Actually, I talked about this before a couple podcasts ago. They had a different singer, and he blew out his vocal cords, and they get this black guy that is just fucking unbelievable, because I didn't think the other guy could switch to the more melodic parts like this guy can, but you're right. He is very much like Maiden.
Maiden.
And the drummer has this little tiny drum set. I can't remember his name, though.
Well, even guitar licks has a little bit of Maiden to it. The timing.
It's all in the timing.
And Special Ed used to be a shredder, man.
Back in the day.
We saw he made his own guitars. He had Rick jerking off on himself. Rick comes over. He's like, dude, man. Oh my god, Special Ed. Oh my god.
Back in the day, I made an Explorer, I made a Flying V, I made some BC Ridges.
An Ass-plore?
Ass-plore.
When you saw Rick at the track, did he come up and grind on you or anything?
No, he didn't.
No, that's a bummer. Well, I'll make sure I remind him to grind on you.
No, thank you.
But yeah, was like, woo-hoo-hoo.
I
wrote this one.
Yes, we hear this one every podcast, Special Ed.
Very simple.
Simple is what it's all about.
Here's another one.
Little drop tuning.
Drop tuning. I'm playing two different chords.
Wow.
Nice.
And drums. No, I'm not.
Same time?
No. It's totally a. I could do it here.
Play it. Ready.
Special Ed, note to self.
Nice.
No more Mary Jane in part two.
Cut off.
Who's Mary Jane? What does that mean?
All right, we got a lot to cover here, Johnny. Let's get to our first clip. This is Britt Hume. He's going to discuss Fred Thompson. Somebody on the Fox News Network asks him about Fred Thompson. In his answer, he manages to slam Clinton and John Glenn, and in the process, uses a racial slur. See if you can pick it out, the racial slur.
Brett, how reliable and strong a conservative and how effective a politician?
Well, I think he had kind of a mixed record in the Senate, and he's a man who always seems somewhat frustrated and bored by the Senate. I particularly remember an investigation that occurred after the Clinton-Dole campaign. We were new here at Fox News, and we carried a lot of the hearings live. It was into campaign finance, alleged irregularities, with money supposedly seeping into the American political campaign of Bill Clinton from Chinese sources and so on. It was pretty juicy stuff. It looked like a very big deal. Fred Thompson was the chairman of the investigating committee, and it went absolutely nowhere. He was effectively buffaloed in that investigation by none other than John Glenn, who was a wonderful man, but not somebody you would normally think capable of being a real partisan spear chucker who could, undo an investigation. So it didn't go very well, and I think Fred Thompson has acknowledged since then that it wasn't his finest hour. But
let's see if you can pick that out.
I'm listening to it intently. I'm like, okay, this is a riddle. Scott's going to stump a spear chucker, if you will. What? Oh, my God. That's brutal. What the fuck?
And that guy still gets a salary. He's still employed. It's un-goddamn believable to me.
I know, but if, Howard Stern would say that. Or
Imus. Too bad he didn't say
John Glenn. He's a nappy-headed whore.
Nappy-headed whore. A spear chucker, if you will. Right to the skull. Back in Africa. Unbelievable.
Out of sight.
And he comes and he starts and it went nowhere. Okay, so if it did go somewhere, it probably would have had credibility. But because it went nowhere, did it have credibility? Probably not.
But it's enough for him to mention that Clinton got cash from the Chinese.
I'd like to see Barack elected.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you why. Because I think it's time for, somebody had said since the 1980s we've had nothing but a Bush or a Clinton, and it's time to get rid of both.
The both of them. The Bush or the Clintons. Yeah, we can't. Yeah, that's right. Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton. Yeah, we can't have that. Right.
No.
Maybe Hillary will be the VP.
No.
And then when somebody offs, well, if I'm Barack, I'm making Hillary VP, because if they're going to off the black man, then they're going to have a woman running the country. So I got little insurance policy.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That makes some sense, man. Yeah, that makes some sense.
I'm not going to ask who's that Southerner who John Edwards.
Thompson?
I'm not going to ask John Edwards
Thompson,
to be the VP.
Because
I'll be whacked within the first month.
Pretty boy.
I'd actually make W my VP.
You check
I guarantee
out.
I wouldn't
check
get
this
shot.
Out. I read this. Let me turn this shit off that I'm playing it. Nearly 30 DOJ officials threatened to quit after Ashcroft hospital visit, Scott.
I read that, John.
You did? Oh,
yeah.
Do you have that?
I do not.
Okay. So consider these scenes from March 2004 described by two former top justice officials who, like other ex-officials interviewed by Newsweek, did not wish to be identified discussing sensitive internal matters. Attorney General Ashcroft is really sick. About to give a press conference in Virginia, he is stricken with pain so severe he has to lie down on the floor. Taken to the hospital for an emergency gallbladder operation, he hallucinates under medication as he lies near death in intensive care. On the night after his operation, he has two visitors, White House Chief of Staff Andrew Card and Presidential Counsel Alberto Gonzalez. As described in public testimony, they want Ashcroft to sign a document authorizing the government's top secret eavesdropping program to go on.
They're trying to strong arm.
Yeah. The attorney general, who thinks the program is illegal, refuses. Back at the Justice Department, there's an equally extraordinary scene. Appalled by the White House's heavy-handed attempt to coerce the gravely ill Attorney General, virtually the entire top leadership of the Justice Department is threatening to resign.
But they didn't.
They didn't. But that's how fucking rocky and fucked up it is. And I don't know why the W would want to be in there another goddamn minute as president of the United States.
Well, there's a story I read. It's not about these attorney firings. Well, actually, it is. That's the tip of the iceberg. But it's really about voter fraud and having these justices in place to turn voters away.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, so that they can't vote, so the Republicans will get in next election.
But the DOJs. I dropped my big mug.
You all right, man?
But these DOJs are like, what the fuck is this bullshit? You know, okay, I think they're getting a little bit of morality. They're like, okay, we took this job to make some dough, but these motherfuckers are pushing too far, man.
Yeah, it's going outside the moral boundaries. Yeah. And it's all because of the W's vision. He's right, everybody's wrong, so fuck you. I need to, because I'm right. The American people don't know, but I'm right. So I need to put all this shit into place so it can guarantee that I can still do what I need to do because I'm right. It's a bunch of shit.
Fucking
thanks,
cocksmokers.
Special Ed. Oh, and the other thing is, John.
What are you thinking for?
John pointed out to me that when we were talking about Alberto Gonzalez, he says, "Hey, Special Ed looks like Alberto."
I never said that.
What?
You said that.
I disagreed with that. I said, "Okay, if it's just the three of us in a room,
Alberto Gonzalez looks like Special Ed.
If it's just the three of us in a room,
Special Ed look like him.
Yeah, he looks more like Alberto Gonzalez than you or I do. But I wouldn't say he looks like Alberto Gonzalez." In related news, John, I don't know if you
That'd
heard
be
this.
A good Halloween costume.
But enough.
Nice.
We could go as the fired attorneys. And an outdoor.
We could go as James Carville.
At an outdoor news conference, this is related news. In a perfect spring weather, with birds chirping loudly in the magnolia trees, it is not without its hazards. As President Bush, the W, took a question Thursday in the White House Rose Garden about scandals involving his attorney general. He remarked, "I've got confidence in Al Gonzalez doing the job." Simultaneously, a sparrow flew overhead and shit right on the president's sleeve.
Nice.
Which Bush tried several times to wipe off, but could not.
Have you seen that video?
I've seen the video.
I'm like, oh my God. You see it go bloop. And then he's like, oh, hell no. What the hell is that?
Now, if you are a W and the Lord talks to you and you believe in the Lord, isn't this a message from the Lord?
A sign.
Isn't it a sign?
W, shut your ass down.
Put the barrel in your mouth.
Get this. Senator Jim DeMint, a Republican of South Carolina, has gone completely over the edge, Scott. During a luncheon speech to 100 constituents in Spartanburg, DeMint also took issue with the now widespread belief that Saddam Hussein had no weapons of mass destruction, saying the executed Iraqi dictator had stockpiles of chemical weapons that still exist.
Then where the fuck are they?
DeMint devoted most of his comments to the current immigration debate in the Senate, but he spoke about the war when a woman in the audience stood and asked him, "How long U.S. troops will remain in Iraq there, Mr. DeMint?" He said, "Al-Qaeda knows that we've got a lot of wimps in Congress," DeMint said. I believe a lot of the casualties can be laid at the feet of all the talk in Congress about how we got to get out. We've got to cut and run.
What a cocksucker. Where's he from?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
But the votevets.org sets the record straight, Scott. John Saltz says wimps are people like Senator DeMint who don't want to ask the tough questions or face facts, which is why he's idiotically clinging to the idea that there were WMD in Iraq. Any stockpiles of weapons found in Iraq were useless, either inert or rusted and unusable because of their age. Senator DeMint is living in some sort of twisted fantasy land where democracy, not failed policy, is responsible for too many American lives lost in Iraq, and where bad intelligence is miraculously valid. He should click his ruby slippers 3 times and join us back in the land of reality or resign from the Senate.
Senator DeMint is a pole smoker. That's what I'm saying.
But the vote vets, which are ex-military, and this guy is not.
Of course not. None of these guys are military. They're all chicken hawks.
Chicken hawk pussy fucks.
Like you and me, John.
I'm not going to get shot at. My fat ass would be the first to go. They push me down in front of all of them. He's slow. Just kill. Just push him down. They'll get him.
They'd pull your pants down first and then push you down. Here, hump this for a while we escape.
I am a pretty good shot, though, I must say. I'd probably end up being a sniper.
Oh, that's what, you know, I went to the shooting range with my father-in-law, who's a, he was a Marine and he's a cop. And I went with him and my brother-in-law. And he thought I was the greatest thing ever as far as shooting. He had never seen any shooting like it.
Really?
Yeah. He thought I was a genius, too, because I figured out how to load his AK-47 without any awkwardness.
Nice.
Yeah, he actually told my mother-in-law, I think he's a genius.
He's a genius because he can load a gun.
Well, he's had this gun for 20 years, and he could never figure out how to load it without some awkwardness, and then I showed him, here's what you got to do. So you got to push all the way down on the bullet, and then,
and
then
slide it
over. What he was doing was trying to just slide it over, and that's not going to work.
That don't do it. No. I know, yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
We used to play with my friend of mine. His dad had all this equipment for pressing out all. He made his own ammunition. He'd take all the spent cartridges and collect them all, and then he'd put together all his 45 hollow points and all that shit.
Yeah, my uncle used to do that.
In the basement, right?
Yeah.
So he had all this smokeless powder and shit, and we'd make bottle rockets out of this stuff.
I don't know if he had. I'm sure he had that, but what I remember
out
is...
out of typing paper.
He would melt lead. He had like a little pot, and he'd put lead in it and melt it, and then mold his own bullets.
Oh, this guy didn't mold them. He'd buy the bullet heads and then the cartridges and whatever, you know, he saved from all his, you know, clips. And he'd just press them. He'd have this little press.
Press them.
Press out his own bullets. And we'd steal the smokeless powder. He had these little kegs full of smokeless powder. And we'd take like a cup, you know, those measuring cups, we'd fill it with the powder.
And then what?
Run outside and we'd get some typing paper and like kite sticks, or we'd save the sticks from fireworks and we'd roll it up in a piece of typing paper. We'd put a firecracker in one end and make bottle rockets, big ones.
It's out of sight.
And that shit would and land on the roof.
That's ingenuity, man. Ingenuity.
Nice. Oh, yeah. We used to do all that. So I made a bomb once.
Half our audience is like typing paper.
Yeah.
What's that?
I used to make these bombs out of what the fuck is it? A toilet paper roll. Okay, toilet paper roll, and I take the match heads, just any match head, cut the heads off, just one of those boxes of 50 books of matches,
little
or 150.
Wooden ones.
No, just regular any matches. Cut the heads off, collect a big pile of them, and I'd shove one end with whatever, toilet paper or cotton, and then stuff in all the match heads, and then shove in another cotton ball or something on the other end. And then I'd take a whole roll of electrical tape, and I'd stick like a hole in there and put in like a
wick?
A wick, but one from a smoke bomb, because smoke bombs had those really stiff waterproof wicks.
Stiff.
You could stick it in there, and then you just crank on an entire roll of electrical tape around this thing, and it made like a football shape.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We go by the tracks, man, and blow them off. Boom!
Really?
Nut shakers.
From matchsticks heads.
Here's another bomb. You take some dry ice.
We're definitely going to end up on the no-fly list now.
Yeah, well, they're not dangerous. I mean, you could blow a hand off or something, but they're not going to hurt anybody.
Not dangerous.
Yeah, not dangerous. An eye, you could probably take an eye out. I mean, they're not. Sometimes they just go and they don't do anything.
They're duds.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you get in trouble. When you think it's a dud, you walk over, and then it, you know.
Yeah, that's this guy Rudy Boom Boom Bellin back in the day, back in high school. Boom. That's what I called him because he was tight. And he was.
Did he have a sister named Cheryl?
I think so.
Cheryl Mellon Bellin?
Yeah, I think Sharon took him to the hospital after he blew up a pipe bomb in his garage. He's reading an article in the newspaper telling you how to build a pipe bomb, and he made one, and while he's tightening the cap, it went off.
Ooh.
And if he wasn't wearing a leather jacket, he'd be dead.
All right.
But this one bomb is a real cool one. It wouldn't hurt anybody.
Well, there you have it for the...
Listen, this is another one. You take a 2-liter bottle, you know, for like doing Mentos.
Mentos,
when you get done with those Mentos fountains, you empty the bottle out. You take chips of dry ice and you pour it into the bottom of the bottle. Then you pour just
a layer to coat the bottom of the bottle. Coat the layer.
And then you pour in some water.
Water.
Just like a quarter of a cup of water. Really
quarter
quick.
Cup.
Then spin the cap on really
spin
quick.
Spin it on.
And throw the bottle.
And throw the bottle.
And it starts expanding and expanding. And then boom!
Whoa. I wonder if that would happen with Mentos. If you like pop the Mentos in.
Oh, yeah. Good
spin
point.
The cap and threw the bottle.
They've done that. That's right. I've seen that. And you know what they do? They whip it on the ground, and when it hits the ground, it launches the bottle like a giant, a 2-liter bottle rocket.
There you go.
I've seen it on YouTube. You check it out. They spin the cap on really quick after doing
Mentos.
The Mentos, and then they whip it on the ground.
What if you were to hold it in your hand? What would happen?
I don't know. I've never tried
Let's
that.
Do that and videotape it.
All right.
I'll videotape you.
Hold you, it,
you
I'll
hold
videotape.
It.
No, I don't, I'm not a good
All
holder.
Right, well, getting back to political news. John.
Sorry.
Georgia Ann Geyer writes in the Dallas Morning News about President W's strange behavior during a recent meeting with friends from his Texas. Strange behavior. Can you believe that?
Really?
Some By all reports,
behavior.
President W is more convinced than ever of his righteousness. Friends of his from Texas were shocked recently to find him nearly wild-eyed, thumping himself on the chest 3 times while he repeated, "I am the president." He also made it clear he was setting Iraq up so his successor could not get out of our country's destiny.
Wow.
This is the second time in recent weeks that accounts have surfaced of Bush lashing out or ranting in private meetings when responding to criticism of his Iraq policy. Chris Nelson of the Nelson Report offered a similar account early this month. Some big money players from Texas recently paid a visit to their friend W in the White House. And the story goes that they got out exactly one question, and the rest of the meeting consisted of the W in an extended whine, a rant, actually. About no one understands him. The critics are all messed up. If only people would see what he's doing, things would be okay. This is called bunker mentality.
Ugh.
And it's not attractive when a friend does it. When a friend is the president of the fucking United States, it can be downright nauseating. Apparently, the Texas friends were suitably appalled, hence the story now in circulation.
That's something else,
man. There you have it. I mean, the W
is... He's chimpified.
He's chimpified. We've talked about it before. This guy's a goddamn dry drunk. He needs to start drinking again.
Yeah.
Just like Steve Dahl.
He's fucked up.
And when you're a dry drunk,
you see things
in black and white. There's no gray.
Right.
And he is convinced, and maybe God talks to him. I don't know. If God talked to you or me, John, we'd be fucking locked up. But talks
but
to the
it's
president.
Okay if, if he talks to the president,
tells him what to do. I don't know where he's deciding that if we don't fight him over there, they're going to come over here. I don't know who the fuck told him that. But it's fucked up, John. Fucked up. and we need to get this guy out of office. I mean, there's enough evidence to impeach this cocksucker. I don't know why the Democrats aren't pulling the goddamn plug.
I know. It's completely on this presidency. Crazy. Check this out. You know Talabani? You know who Talabani is?
No.
You don't know?
Mm-mm.
President Talabani.
Oh, from Iraq.
Iraqi president.
Oh, yeah. I know him. No doubt.
He says, I agree to put constructive pressure on Iraqi government, but I think we must be realistic. Unless we will be able to prepare our forces, armed forces, including army and police forces, to replace coalition forces, something as impractical. And then George Stephanopoulos interrupts and says, but how long is that going to take? The training's been going on for so long. And Taliban, he said, well, you know, to building an army after the collapse of a regime is not easy. Although al-Maliki, the prime minister, last week just said that some of the officer corps have been creating problems and even violating the security of military operations. Al-Maliki said that some of the officer corps have been... Oh, I read that already.
I'm really fucked up, man.
I'm not afraid, but I have to watch the army because those still loyal to the previous regime may start planning coups.
Coops.
So you got Talabani.
Coos, you cocksucker. It's not coops.
Coops. It's coops.
It's coos.
Oh, coos.
Sputnik.
I thought you were saying coos like in pussy.
Right. That's what I was saying. Coos.
Not coops. Coos. I'm like, shut up. It's coops. Rick told me something funny Saturday.
Yeah.
He was arguing with his wife about coupon versus coupon, right? He says it's coupon. She says it's not. It's coupon.
I say coupon.
And Rick says it's coupon. Otherwise, can you... No, I fucked it up already. The way he said it was funny, but he says, it's not coupon, it's coupon. Can you drive a two-door coupe?
Cube. I can't drive a cube.
A two-door cube.
And I wouldn't advise a coupe either.
It's a coos. No, it's a coup.
You Sputnik. Said in coops. The plural, coops.
I'm an idiot.
Yeah.
I'm retarded.
And just think about this country, the greatest country in the world,
what they
John.
Said. Talabani says, oh, just train these guys. And the other guy's saying, yeah, I think they're about to. What the fuck is that?
Train them to take over the government.
Yeah.
Great. Well, here's the thing about this great country, John, this great society that we call the United States of America's. And if you look back on our history, we got our independence, right? In the late 18th century. And then 70 years later, we had a civil war. And the civil war lasted for 5 years. And then we straightened things out. And it was an evolving thing.
Actually, it's the 19th century.
Whatever.
1812, after the War of 1812. Sorry, go ahead.
Right, but that's the 17th century, right? Because that's how they count.
1776 was... The writing, the authoring of the Declaration of Independence, but we didn't really declare our independence until after the War of 1812.
Right, which is the 17th
century. 17th
century. That's what I said.
Right, you said 18th. Late in the 18th.
I did? No, I didn't say that. Did I say that? Yeah. Did I say the 18th?
Yeah.
All right, thank you for correcting me, John. Even in your short-term memory stupor, you still... have the faculties and resources.
No, 20th century is the 1900s is the 1800s, and 18th century would be the 1700s.
All right, basically all
Zero
I'm saying
is the first century.
Is it took us 100 years to figure things out.
One is the first century.
And that's after we wanted independence. We wanted democracy, and we had great, great leaders.
Great.
Washington, Jefferson, Franklin, great thinkers.
Jefferson, the greatest of them all.
And we wanted
and Benjamin Franklin.
And we had the separation of church and state. And now they're trying to jam democracy down Iraq's throat.
These fuckers don't want
it. At the barrel of a gun. It doesn't work, the W. It doesn't work.
Exporting democracy at the barrel of a gun.
It doesn't work, W. It does not work.
I'll tell you, check this out, man. Check this out. You ready?
I'm ready.
This is what Delta Company says. You know Delta Company?
I do not know Delta Company.
Staff Sergeant David Safstrom does not regret his previous tours in Iraq. Not even a difficult second stint when two comrades were killed while trying to capture insurgents. He says, in Mosul in 2003, it felt like we were making the city a better place, he said. There was no sectarian violence. Saddam was gone. We were tracking down the bad guys. It felt awesome. But now, sorry, I'm a little
gas. Who were the bad guys?
But now, on a
who were the bad guys? Al Qaeda? Who were they?
Well, the Saddam regime, the deck
the
of cards,
bath party.
The bath party. No,
tear.
Back then it was the deck of cards.
The deck of cards.
Remember
yeah.
the?
yeah. We got this deck of cards. We got the eight of spades today.
Yeah.
Mission
now,
accomplished.
But now, on his third deployment in Iraq, he is no longer a believer in the mission. The pivotal moment came, he says, this past February when soldiers killed a man setting a roadside bomb. When they searched the bomber's body, they found identification showing him to be a sergeant in the Iraqi army. I thought, what are we doing here? Why are we still here? Said Safstrom, a member of Delta Company of the 1st Battalion, 325th Airborne Infantry. 82nd Airborne Division. I can't even say it. They sound so wimpy, you know.
It's
supposed to be tough.
I tell you, they're going to greet us as liberators, sir, Johnny.
Liberators. How about that? We're helping guys that are trying to kill us. We help them in the day. They turn around at night and try to kill us. His views are echoed by most of his fellow soldiers in Delta Company, renowned for its aggressiveness because they're a hard-ass group of fucking fighting-ass soldiers, which, you know, these guys go over there and they're not trained for this democracy crap. They're trained to go over there and fucking just shoot people.
Well, in the
kill
democracy
them,
crap, like
over.
We said, it's a fucking fairy tale. It's not going to happen. There's no democracy that's going
to
happen.
To train soldiers to kill or be killed and then expect them to export this our form of democracy and give them then brainwash them and tell and have Hannity on there going, hey, man, you're doing them a disservice. With that fucking voice of his saying we're doing a disservice by wanting them to come back home where they belong with their families and protecting the homeland. Versus exporting our imperial vision of democracy at the point of a gun in another country that could give a shit about democracy. Because if they did, they would fucking fight for it on their own.
Fucking A, John. And it goes back to something we talked about
right.
earlier. You got intelligence, you got emotional intelligence, you got... and then you got the belief system. You have to understand the belief system. If you don't understand that or you don't know where the person's coming from a belief perspective, you got nothing. You can't predict shit because every goddamn prediction these motherfuckers have made is wrong. Wrong, John.
Wrong.
And we're still supposed to listen to them like they're right. Mr. Righteousness, the W.
Yeah.
Chimp. He's a chimp. Thanks, Special Ed. Thank you again.
Fucking monkey.
What?
Voting for the W.
Shut up. My wife voted for the senior.
That's fine. Did she vote for Junior?
No.
There
oh,
you
no.
Go.
She might have. I got to ask her. I think she did in the first election. Yeah, she did. We had a big discussion about that.
That's brutal.
She did.
I would go every day. I would say, I told you so.
I do.
I told you so.
I do. We get in these big arguments about it. Just like the bless you thing, too.
Well, get this, John. You know, we talk about the W's stupidity and his ignorance and running this country in this fucking shithole. And you see it with the dollar compared to the euro.
Oh, yeah.
And now, get this, John. Trade whatever deficit. The fuck they use in Canada. Do you know what they use in Canada?
The Canadian dollar? Canadian
is that
dollar.
What they call it? Canadian dollar.
Canadian dollar.
It's going to be on par with the American dollar soon. That's never happened.
Wow.
So Preston Buttons, he's going to have a wad of Canadian dollars. They're going to be worth more than the wad that we have, John.
The wad in my pocket.
You know, we talk about, okay, he's just goddamn stupid, and we just need to get over this hump. But get this. Get this. This is starting to get scary, John. Halliburton's former engineering and construction subsidiary has a contingency contract with the Department of Homeland Security to construct detention facilities in the event of a national emergency.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Now, why would you need detention facilities in case of a national emergency?
This is why, Scott. Are you finished with that article?
No.
Go ahead.
President W. recently signed a little-reported National Security and Homeland Security Directive granting extraordinary, or do you say extraordinary, powers to the president in the event of a declared national emergency.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently without congressional approval or oversight. Houston-based KBR was awarded the initial $400 million contract for 1 year, with 4 one-year options extended to 2007 to build detention centers.
Yeah.
The idea of the KBR contract is to support the Army Corps of Engineers in case we experience a sudden mass immigration and we had to respond quickly. We need to immediate detention facilities in the form of temporary housing that would enable us to determine if the large numbers of immigrants were political or economically motivated, or if they were criminals or terrorists. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Isn't that great? And they just signed over that the W can declare martial law whenever he wants.
Whenever he wants. They don't say specifically. And they call and they say that Congress and the Department of Justice can be considered in comedy.
In comedy.
In comedy was like the wording in the new presidential directive, meaning that, we'll take what they say in consideration, but really the entire authority relies with us. We'll laugh at it. Right?
What a bunch of shit. So here's my...
Did you hear about that, Special
Ed? No, I did not hear about that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to amend my prediction now. Special Ed, I don't know if you listen or not, but I predicted that the W is going to wait it out with Iran. And right before the elections, he's going to attack. You're going to hear a bunch of propaganda coming out of Iran. You're going to get an attack right before the election.
Well, if there's an attack, it's worse.
He's going to call off the elections, remain president, attack Iran, set up the detention centers. And guys like you and me, John, dissenters.
Yeah.
People who question authority.
You're
are
going
to be
jail.
Sent to these detention facilities.
Here's the thing. If he attacks Iran, it's going to get so bad that we have no choice but to be on the side of we're in it. We got to fight this battle because...
We're in the shit.
In an interview with Globe and Mail, Scott...
Globe and Mail.
Russian President Vladimir Putin...
Putin!
...has threatened to target Europe...
Vladimir Putin!
...with missiles.
Nice.
Including potentially nuclear weapons in a dramatic escalation of his Cold War-style showdown with the United States.
Yeah, I don't understand where the fuck that's coming
from.
Well,
I'm going to tell you, Mr. Putin, in an interview with his summer residence outside Moscow, said he considers U.S. plans to build an Eastern European anti-missile site to shoot down Iranian missiles a provocation aimed at Russia.
How does he figure it's aimed at Russia?
Because
Russia supports Iran?
He repeatedly described the anti-missile system as part of an American strategic nuclear potential, which existence, he said, requires Russia to retaliate to maintain the global strategic balance.
All right, so it's all talk.
Asked what he might do to retaliate, he said he would return Russia to the Cold War status, where missiles were aimed at European targets.
Yeah, what do we care about Europe? Does Europe?
We're not going to be on the side of Russia.
Does Europe include the UK?
Dude, it includes Amsterdam.
Oh, well, then fuck that, man. Yeah. Fuck Putin. That cocksucker.
We're not
going to
be on the
smoker.
Side of that jerk off, but see, that's potentially the plan.
Yeah, he's just a bunch of hot air. Isn't that's Putin on his way out?
Well, how do you know the W didn't go over and say, hey, what I need you to do, my advisor tell me, that what you ought to do is you should start threatening us.
Could be. Who knows?
I'll stay in office forever and you'll be a Brazilianaire.
It's all goddamn
spin.
We'll
play this game forever.
Yeah, that could happen because I'm right and they're wrong.
Because it'd be just you and me and Tony Blair that have all the oil.
Because we got to fight this war on terror.
Oh, yeah. Tony Blair's going out of office.
Yeah.
He resigned.
He resigned because he's fearing a vote of no confidence from the parliament.
Right.
Which would just basically say, get the fuck out. We don't need you.
And we can, I think we can all conclude that the vote of no confidence is because of his relationship with the Dahlia.
Yeah, I bet the guy was a great fucking dude. The best. Total tits for the UK.
Can you imagine the conversation he has with his wife about the W?
What the fuck did I do?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Honey, what did I do? I don't know. I told you not to mess with that George. He's bad trouble.
Is he married to Aunt Jemima? Or?
I don't know. No,
I can't do an English accent. He's a bad trouble, that motherfucker. Hell no.
All right, man. Ed, you going to get the door?
Yeah. Give me one second. Right. Grab back. Over there, would you? There I go.
We're getting nice. The door. Nicely done. Thank you, Ed. Are they going to run
sure
back?
Open it. Open the door. No running.
Hey,
it's,
oh, look at
it's
Phil.
Dangerous
he is,
to walk back lockstep with special ed.
All right. We're going back. Have a seat, here, buddy.
All right, I'm back in here again.
Oh.
Nice. Yeah.
How you doing there, Phil?
It's nice.
What is he he's getting gonna, in,
he's getting
the
in the
time
machine.
Machine.
That's his newsroom now. He's,
oh,
what
nice.
He likes it in there. Hey, we got to use the time machine again.
Yeah.
We have special ed here. We could have went back
yeah,
in time.
Yeah, I know. What, has he got his cans on?
I mean, there's so much shit we can do back in time. We got to really think about that
knock
for next
on the
episode.
Window, would you?
Yeah, hold on.
Is
yeah,
he
he's
in
ready.
There? All right.
He's good.
What the fuck is he doing?
I guess he's still getting ready.
Gentlemen.
Yeah. All right. I'm ready to turn over to Phil whenever
right.
you are.
I'm ready right now.
Thank you, sir. I'm always ready.
Now, with your award-winning TTN News, Phil McCracken Whitcomb.
Thank you, John. And our first story tonight.
Jesus Christ.
B favorite misspells Cleavis. Mom says, N-O-T-F-A-I-R, not fair. Samil Patel's dream of winning the national spelling title, a goal that dominated the last 5 years of his life, ended in one quick moment Thursday with the word Cleavis. Spectators at the Grand Hyatt Ballroom gasped as the 13-year-old Texan spelled out the word for a type of fascinating device as Clevice. C-L-E-V-I-C-E.
Vibrator.
The error eliminated him in the fifth round of the Scripps National Spelling Bee.
It's for vibrating the clevis.
Samir, considered by many to be this year's favorite, wiped away tears as he talked about it later.
You don't talk about the
The first thing I thought was Clevis, C-L-E-V-I-S, and if I had been slow and cautious like I always am, I would have got it right, he said. But I just outsmarted myself. It was an easy word. I just made a stupid mistake. Samir's mother appealed this dismissal.
I think Cleavis is really clitoris cleavage.
But officials rejected the appeal. Next story, John.
Oh.
Man wrestles leopard in his underwear. And related news, guys, guy who put on underwear, guy who put the underwear on the leopard is ignored. Next story, John. Church organist fired for focusing on the wrong organ. A Catholic priest has removed his church's organist and choir director from her duties, saying her sale of sex toys was not consistent with church teachings. Lynette Severus played the organ and sung with the choir for 35 years. Much of her work on the choir director and organist was done without pay. When her parish priest asked to meet with her, she thought it was to say thank you. Instead, she was told to quit her sales job with a company known as Pure Romance, or she would lose her position in the church. Pure Romance in Loveland, Ohio, is a $60 billion per year business that sells spa products and sex toys at home parties attended by women. It has 15,000 consultants. She said her decision was not hard, like the priest. She began working with Pure Romance after a brain tumor and treatment left her sexually dysfunctional. The job allows her to help other women who have similar problems. After I got over the initial shock, I prayed over this a long time, she said. I feel that Pure Romance is my ministry. The Reverend Dean Dombrowski felt differently, removing her from the choir loft just before Thanksgiving and gradually taking away other church duties. He wrote, Lynette is a consultant for the firm which sells products of a sexual nature and are not consistent with church teachings because parish leaders are expected to model the teachings of her faith. She could stay on as a choir director or organist, or she could continue to be a consultant, but she could not do both. Next door, John.
I heard she, you know, instead of putting the flowers, the roses on her piano, she's back to putting tulips on her organ. Or your organ, rather.
Valedictorian doesn't understand why lengthy, unapproved graduation speech telling audience to find Jesus or suffer the consequences is drawing criticism. Meet new... Oh. Oh, that's it. Next story, John. Meet new Kansas City police officer Jessica, same as the old Kansas City police officer David. On the internet, David finally discovered a name for the internal hell he'd been living. Gender identity disorder. The solution was daunting. Expensive female hormones and even more expensive and extreme surgery. Even so, he daydreamed about living as a woman and sought out a way out of his marriage. He committed adultery openly, John. His wife forgave him, so he cheated again. Last year, David decided to come out, a necessary step before taking pills to develop secondary female characteristics such as breasts and a vajay. He told his second wife he saw relief flood in her eyes as if she realized it was not her fault. The next hurdle, the Kansas City Police Department. He pondered how to tell his bosses that a man they hired 10 years earlier intended to morph into a woman. He chose Deputy Chief Rachel Whipple, the only female deputy of five. I don't know how to say this, David started, but I'm a male-to-female transsexual. Okay, let's talk about it, Whipple answered. I'll take it to the chief, and you'll need to let your chain of command know. David left in awe. Wow, he thought, this is going to be better than I expected. Within days, television crews sought interviews. David declined. He felt somewhat betrayed by the way his private news traveled faster than if he had posted it on the internet.
Is Phil there or Scott? I'm just wondering. What's going on there?
That thought just occurred to me, John. Still, he was glad to still be employed. He knew other transgenders were not as fortunate. Next story, John.
You do a good imitation of Scott, though, I gotta tell you.
Thank you, John.
Have a little teeny tiny vagina.
Canadian dollar will soon be on par with the American dollar. In related news, the size of Preston's hands still well below the national average. Next story, John. And this is our final story tonight.
Wow.
Inmate on death row accepting submissions for funniest jokes that will be read in his final statement before execution. I will be submitting John's Fred Flintstone joke or maybe the dandelion joke. And that's the news.
right. Thank you, Phil.
Thank you, John.
All right.
Thanks, Ed.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Scott. I've been working on the impression of doing Scott for quite a while. I sprung that on to you tonight, and yeah, I hope I didn't confuse any of the listeners.
You cornfused me.
I cornhole fused you.
All right.
Whoa, all right. Well, I don't mean to start that up.
Get out.
I don't want to end up beating my parents when they were dating. You know what I'm saying?
What are you doing?
Hold on. I'm trying to get out.
Get out.
Let me open the door. There you go. Let me step away from the car.
Why don't you walk over to the door?
All right, then.
All right. Bye-bye.
Great to be here. Sorry for the short news,
Dad. Thanks for coming.
Bye, Phil.
Bye-bye now.
Dad!
Oh, God.
Wow.
That's a kick-ass impression.
It was. I couldn't tell the difference.
I started tapping my mic. Wait a minute. I'm not speaking, am I?
Oh, yeah.
That was weird.
I was corn-fused.
Corn-fused.
I sure was
corn-fused.
All right, that's it for this week. Still, John Scott.
96.3.
That's right.
And again, happy birthday to John.
Happy birthday to John.
Happy birthday to you.
Any special last words, special ed on 96 part 3?
Not, I don't go into, no.
No, not at all. Coming up on the big 100. We've been drinking there for the 100.
We've been drinking a keg of Heineken.
Keg of Heineken.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think for 100, we'll probably be at my house.
It's your house.
So we could do it there with full-on callers.
Full-on callers and everything on the 100.
Oh, I forgot to read to you what, what's his name said?
The great Spike. Of Spike and Rachel.
Yes, I got an email back from Spike. Remember we did those promos?
We did a promo. We sent it to Spike and Rachel, and he emailed you and said...
He emailed me back and said... He said... Because I called it a gift.
A gift.
He wrote, waiting for... And I the gift was... Well, let me play it first, okay?
Okay.
Should I play it?
Why not?
Should I play it?
Yeah.
Play it.
Special Ed's probably hasn't heard it. He stopped listening to us.
Special Ed has not heard this, I don't think. Let's see if we can find it.
John is going to play it. While he's looking for it, I will talk about the size of my balls.
That's a short story.
No, here it is.
That's funny,
John,
Special Ed.
I'm Scott. And when we're not listening to Spike and Rick. Well, what are we doing here? You guys going to talk about my shit about his balls?
That's go ahead, man.
I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And when we're not listening to Spike and Rachel.
We're hitting the phones hard, making cold calls.
Trying to get anyone to give Spike a blowjob.
Leave me the fuck alone.
Hi, I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
Are you familiar with Spike of Spike and Rachel?
Fuck you, motherfucker.
But Spike hasn't received oral in 6 years.
Oh, yeah, bullshit.
No, really? We can't believe it either.
Come on. What's it gonna...
Oh, shut up. Shut the fuck up, too.
I heard he's microphallic.
Yeah, you can floss your teeth with his penis.
No! God damn it, fuck you!
Jesus Christ. What is it gonna take?
Yeah, why doesn't Rachel take one for the team already? So, yeah, that was a promo we put to you. You know who is in there? That's Lily Tomlin.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And Spike writes, waiting for Rachel's bikini wax before we can send you a thank you gift. Got to think of something special for your 100th. Love you guys. And yes, I took a break for a while, but the best thing about missing episodes is the hours and hours of catching up. That's it from Spike.
It's out of sight.
Nice.
So Rachel, waiting for Rachel's bikini wax before we can send you a thank you gift.
Is there any residue left from
bikini
wax?
Well, that's what I'm
wondering.
Maybe they're going to rip some hair off and send us that. So we'll take that. Send us Rachel's pubic hair.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's a Scott.
Arranged in a heart shape.
Torn off in beeswax or whatever that glue is they put on there. So have you ever heard of a Brazilian wax, Scott? You know what that is?
No.
Well,
is
I told
when they
you before.
Do it to like a lot of people?
No. Brazilian. A Brazilian people. No. My wife's friend who does my hair and stuff, she she tells me stories all the time about women that come into the beauty salon and get a Brazilian. And a Brazilian wax is where they wax the pubes from the front all the way to the tetanus.
To the tetanus?
So they tear the taint? Off the taint.
All the way down to the taint?
And what the chick does is she'll get on all fours and lift up one leg as the stylist puts the tape on the labia and goes whoosh, the outer labia and rips off the remaining hair all the way back to the taint.
Where do you get that kind of training?
I don't know, but I was like, can you videotape that?
I see a new calling in life.
Wow.
But I get to hear those stories all the time and hear about, you know, how.
So the person who cuts your hair does that?
Yeah.
She offers that service?
No, she doesn't, but there's somebody, the person who does nails and all that shit, she does that. But they talk about it, you know, and it's talk. So when you're in there getting your hair cut, oh, you don't mind, right? And no. No, but if I start popping a tent right here.
So wait a minute. What kind of stories do they tell? I mean, it would be pretty standard. Okay.
They start telling about how, you know, somebody has a fucking forest back there.
Oh, the forest.
Like, whoa! Look at that thing. Jesus Christ.
They can't tell
like
how far.
Talking trees.
How far back the tet anus is because it's covered.
Sometimes it goes all the way around the anus.
Oh.
And they're putting the tape with the glue right on the anal area. And
Special Ed, you know what the taint is, right?
The taint.
The taint? Yeah. You know what
the
that
taint.
Is.
The taint.
You know what that is?
Yes.
What is it?
The asshole.
No, it's no, between man. The asshole and the puss.
Between,
It taint ass.
The area
it taint.
Between.
Vag.
Vag. It's the taint.
The valley
taint
between.
Ass, taint vag, yeah. It's where, you know, when a woman gets drunk, you can carry her home like a six pack, right?
Right.
That's why does she have to be drunk?
Rolls.
To do
either
that.
Way, well, they might be.
It's called the six pack grip.
Maybe find it if you. You heard about that chick that was golfing and she got stung by a bee?
No.
And she went to the doctor and it was all swelled up and she says, "Yeah, I got stung by a bee between my legs." And no, I fucked up. I fucked up the joke.
What is it then?
I got stung by a bee, and the doctor says, "Well, where'd you get stung?" She said, "Between the first and second hole." He says, "Well, that's your problem. Your stance is too far apart."
Yeah, you did fuck that one up.
I fucked it up. All right, we got to go. Thanks for listening. Total
96 Part 3.
96 Part
3. Thanks, Special Ed.
Thank you.
Special guest, Special Ed. Nobody called. We don't
Happy
have
an birthday.
Internet's connection is my birthday later.
You're listening to John and Scott
on Total Talk Nonsense.